Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
He is Radio.com Sports NFL Insider. His name is Channing Crowder. As always, Insider Calls are brought to you by Indeed. Post a job today at Indeed.com/hire. Channing, what's going on, man?
How you doing, brother? Appreciate y'all having me up in Memphis. I come through Tennessee and tell y'all barbecue the pizzas every now and again.
Now, do you stop and tear it up, or you just get it and keep on driving through Tennessee and Memphis?
Oh, I've stayed there, you know, back in my single days. I had women all over. So I had me some country women there in Memphis. You know, I had some ladies that knew how to cook, you know, the Tennessee women. Back in my day, I used to be in Tennessee a lot.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, it's always good to have you on the show, Channing, and we appreciate the time. What are your Dolphins doing there in Miami, man? For us, we look at the situation down there at quarterback, and, you know, certainly Ryan Fitzpatrick's a vet, and he gets the respect he deserves. But, I mean, for them to go out and trade and acquire Josh Rosen and give up what they did, I mean, what does it say that this is a competition at this juncture?
It is a competition, but it's a bigger picture, man. You know, Chris Greer, he took over the GM job. They bring in Brian Flores. You know, the whole regime changed. This is the first time the whole regime changed since the 2007-08 season when Cam Cameron's terrible coaching ass came down here and ruined the franchise. So we had to bring in Parcells, Tony Sperano. So they reset then, and then 08 we went on, you know, to go to the playoffs that season with the Wildcat, Ronnie and Ricky. But that wasn't sustainable. I was on that team. That wasn't sustainable at all. You know, false for fan type thing. They're really trying to reset. What they did was, if you look at how they got Rosen, they traded back with New Orleans. So they acquired the second round pick, trading back, and then traded the second round they got from, you know, the second round and the fifth round. So if you really want to look at it, they traded a fifth rounder to get Rosen, who was the number 10 pick the year before. We had 11. The Arizona Cardinals jumped over the Dolphins that year before to get Rosen. I heard the rumors were they weren't even going to draft Rosen if he did fall to 11 that season. But when we got Rosen, Arizona gave up on him. He's a young guy. He's 22 years old. He was highly loved and touted out of UCLA. So Arizona put him in the fire. Terrible offensive line. Terrible offense. You know, coach got fired. OC was changed. Byron Leftwich took over halfway through the season. They don't really know what the evaluation of Rosen is.
Right.
They're going to find out this year. This is what they're doing. They want to find out what Rosen can do. Find out if Rosen can. And this is what Rosen's goal is, to make the Dolphins forget about Tua, forget about Herbert, and forget about Jake Fromm.
Right.
Because if we're terrible, we're going to have a top pick. We've got to get a franchise quarterback. They bring Rosen in to see if we can forget about getting a top-rated quarterback next season. And this is Fitzpatrick's job. It's, you know, if you just look at what it is, 2 years, $11 million, puppy money. I know people listening saying $11 million is puppy money. When you look at what quarterbacks are making now, you know, Dak Prescott wants to get 40. So, you know what I'm saying? Like, $5.5 million a year is nothing. Fitzpatrick's 37 years old. I've been retired 9 years, fellas. I played against Fitzpatrick a number of times with a number of teams. He is a 5-11 quarterback. He'll have some excitement like he did with Tampa last year.
Yep.
He's going to have 350-yard passing game, three touchdowns, and the next week, you know what he's going to do? 162 yards, two interceptions, a fumble, forced fumble, fumble recovery for a touchdown. He's going to have the ups and downs of Fitzpatrick's entire career. The man's 37 years old. He brings a little energy. He brings a little veteran presence to it. But the entire quarterback situation with Miami this year is to find out if Rosen can make us forget about drafting one of those guys by next season. That's the entire situation with those quarterbacks.
You laid it out perfectly. That's sure what it looks like to me. I ask you this one. You know him well. What's Tannehill going to do in Tennessee? Is he going to be one of the best backups in the league? Or from what we've seen from Mariota and him needing to take that job and by the horns and sort of hadn't yet, it's a determination year for him on whether you pay him or not. You think Tannehill becomes a starter?
Oh, I'm going to tell you this. Tannehill is going to have Tennessee fans frustrated because right now there's a competition right now between him, how he played in that first preseason game, flawless. Two touchdowns.
He was good.
Like,
Yep.
So I'm like Tannehill for years. I defended Tannehill for years. He got with Adam Gase. He had like the people around him. Mike Sherman came with him from college, so they were babying him. Tannehill is he? I think he's one of the best 32 quarterbacks in the league. He's not a top 20, but he's at bottom 12, and he's going to do it. He's going to do everything right. To be honest, guys, I went to church with Ryan Tannehill. I know his wife. I know his kids.
Oh, wow.
Tannehill's a beautiful son. He's a great person. He's a top 25 quarterback, and that's what he's going to be the rest of his life. But the thing about Mariota, if Mariota gets hurt and those Tennessee fans and Mike Vrabel and them guys, they see Tannehill play, structure, good energy, leader. You know, it is a great feeling to have Tannehill run your huddle. He's not going to go double-digit wins. That's not what he is.
Right.
So I think he can steal Mariota's job. He can steal anybody's job. And he's going to get you right around 500. He's not going to make mistakes. But Tannehill, if there is a guy one-on-one down the sideline to throw a jump ball or a tight end wide open in the flat at 7 yards, he's going to the flat every single time.
Mm-hmm.
He's not going to take that big chance. He's not going to go let guys make it. He's going to get a first down. That's all he wants to do is get a first down. He doesn't want to go for the big shot. That's why he is a very conservative. That's why he's a very safe quarterback. He would be the best backup in the league. But like I said, he could start for a number of teams in the league and just get you right around 500. He did it us for 7 years. He's not tricking me anymore. And Tennessee will find out soon if they start him. He's going to have – it's not even the ups and downs of Fitzpatrick. It's a steady mid-ground 8-8 performance. No big numbers, no terrible games, just sitting right in the middle. So if they want that, you got Tannehill, start him. If you want to do something, you got to start somebody else because Tannehill's not going to take the Eagles to the playoffs.
I'm curious, do you put a healthy Mariota, and Lord knows, I mean, that's the thing on his career now is can he stay there, but do you put a healthy Mariota in that top 20 you just talked about, or no?
Not really. I haven't seen enough out of him.
Mm-hmm.
And I question those guys. I want to see guys come in the league like a Michael Vick did. Michael Vick was very athletic. He could run. I played him. They had me spying him one time. And I went to run at him, and he took the hell off, and he was 15 yards away from me before I could blink my eye. So I've seen, like, the athletic quarterback. Like, what Raven's doing with Lamar Jackson right now. He led the NFL in rushing, all-time rushing attempts out of a quarterback in his third all season. I don't trust those guys. And that's my personal opinion. I don't trust those guys. If they want to run Kyler Murray, Josh Allen in Buffalo, when you got a quarterback that's a glorified tailback, I don't trust it. Mariota was that athlete. I haven't seen enough out of Mariota sitting in the pocket, really, you know, really
dissecting,
standing tall, tearing their ass up, 18, 15, 12, 7, 15, go for the people, go 40. If that's incomplete, come back. Get your play action going. I haven't seen enough out of Mariota. I expected a lot more out of him coming out of college.
Me too.
But once you've watched him for the season, once you've watched the injuries, and, you know, that's the thing in the league, too, because we have a receiver down here by the name of Devontae Parker who looks like he could be Randy Moss. His body's not made like that. Maybe he was a Similac baby. Maybe he didn't drink that milk. He just injured too much. Mariota's on that same path, but even when Mariota's healthy, He hasn't convinced me that he can translate that athleticism to an NFL quarterback standard. And y'all know what that looks like. I always tell people, they criticize me. If you tell me to pick a quarterback, I want a pocket guy. I want him about 6 foot plus. I want to be able to stand in there and deliver the ball by taking a hit. If your first thought is to run the ball when you get under pressure, you can be great in college. You cannot make it in the NFL.
We are, of course, talking to Radio.com Sports NFL Insider Channing Crowder. As always, Insider calls are brought to you by Indeed. Post a job today at Indeed.com/hire. Channing, Antonio Brown has frostbitten feet. He needs a helmet. He's being sued by a celebrity chef. I'm sure there's another lawsuit somewhere out there. Is this ever going to get off the ground for Antonio Brown and the Oakland Raiders?
It will. It's going to be all this and money and success, minus football. Steve Jobs was different before he was a billionaire. Like, money and success changed people. And Antonio Brown, very humble, late round pick, I believe sixth round pick, just came in grinding. And then they gave him all this money. And then the Raiders gave him another 30. And he's changing. His little flag getting up. His ego's getting up. He's complaining about a lot. It's like a pretty girl. You know what I'm saying? If you were a 5 or 6, she'll run with you a little bit. If you're with a 10, she's going to be very high-sprung, very needy, very, oh, I can't, I only drink mineral water. I don't drink spring water. Mm-hmm. Stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? That's where Antonio Brown has gotten. When Sunday hit, bro, this is the thing. I played with a bunch of players. Joey Porter was kind of like this. He would complain. He would you know, worry the coaches. The coaches would be worried about him. Going out at night, coming in, you know, coming in a little late. When they turned that light on Sunday night,
yes, sir.
When they snapped that ball on Sunday afternoon, Peasy was about to ball. Antonio Brown gets on that field, he's going to ball. You have to deal with Antonio Brown for 6 days out of the week. If you can deal with him for those 6 days or those 349 days that you don't have to play a football game, you would love him for those 16 regular season and into the playoffs if you make it.
Mm-hmm.
He's a high sprung. He just needs attention. The helmet thing, the injury thing, the cryotherapy thing, I didn't have a problem with that, fellas. The helmet thing got to me. Bro, put a damn helmet on your head and
everybody
got
to change, right? Everybody got to change, right?
I love those old shows. I was a banger now. Now, you know, me and Zach Thomas talk about it all the time. We would be fine every game now because we were taught to hit people's. If you throw your forehead into somebody's chin, they're not gonna want to block you all game. But now they would call that a penalty. Like we talk about it, where we would say, you know, let's break a guy's face mask. To break his face mask, now you have to hit him in his helmet, and that helmet down the contact. The game changed that way. The game changed for safety. They're putting these big ass revolutions. Those revolutions are so ugly. Everybody knows those revolution helmets are ugly, but they're safer.
Right.
Antonio Brown has to understand that. Everybody, even Tom Brady came out and said he loved his helmet, but he saw where the league was going and adjusted to it. AB has to adjust, but like I go back to, he is that high-strung dime that knows everybody loves him. So he can cause all the trouble he wants. As long as he can go out there and catch 100 balls a year, they're going to deal with him. He's going to ball this year. Him and Derek Carr are going to have a great continuity. He's going to do his thing. He's going to have, you know, close to or over, you know, 100 catches. You have to deal with him the days that you aren't playing. That's the biggest issue with Antonio Brown. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Leave him alone on Sunday. He's going to be a Hall of Famer on Sunday when they blow that whistle.
Yeah, I think that is true. Just curious, what is your opinion, Channing, of John Gruden? You know, like he's saying, you know, I'm tired of dreams. I'm tired of talking about dreams. I want to be, you know, nightmare. I want to be other teams' nightmare. Take their job. Take their dreams. All that stuff. Does that resonate, or are you just going to roll your eyes at that kind of stuff?
The young boys. I watch Hard Knocks. It's the dumbest thing in the world for a team to do Hard Knocks. I think it doesn't help your team one bit. All it does is it hurts your team. All it does is expose your weaknesses. Dolphins had it. I thought it was worse than ever a couple years back. But John Gruden, he brought up Cleveland Farrell. A young guy would jump into that. Yeah, coach, go home. Let's go. It was like when Saban came from college, when he came from LSU to the Dolphins. All his speeches, I was a rookie. I listened to all his speeches. Yeah, let's go. But then you had Keith Traylor, Ronnie Holiday, Kevin Carter, Sam Madison, Jason, and Zach. You had those guys. And that's what they're like, coach, can we go practice and get better at football, X's and O's? So, yeah, the puppies will listen to them. Personally, I'm a Buccaneers fan, grew up a Buccaneers fan. John Gruden won his Super Bowl with the Tony Dungy's entire offense and defense. He stepped in and won it after Dungy set that organization up for years. They fired him and brought in Gruden. I believe Gruden's going to fail in Oakland. I don't believe he's going to play his 10 years out. He's going to make his $100 million because, you know, they throw their friends money. He's a part of the old boys club, so he's going to get his money. I don't think he's going to get Oakland right. He was out too long. He's a cartoon head coach. He wants to play. He wants to, you know, laugh. He wants to make, you know, make Hard Knocks good and be in the media. But I don't know if he can still coach. I loved him calling football games. I loved listening to him talk about football from the box. Now he has to come down on the sideline. It's a whole different approach. I believe he's going to fail. I hope he proves me wrong. I just love teams to be good. I love competition. I love parity in the league. I love when there's a bunch of good teams just whooping each other every Sunday. But in my personal opinion, I don't think John Gruden's going to figure out the Oakland Raiders. I don't give a damn if they give him 20 years.
Mm-hmm. I'm with you on that one. I don't think my partner is. He's a Raiders fan, though. Are you buying stock in the Browns as a playoff? Are you all in on Baker Mayfield and those Browns with all that talent? We'll see how Kitchens sort of runs it. What do you think?
You hit it on the head, bro. I think Kitchens might be in there over his head.
Me too.
It's going to be great. Odell Beckham's going to come out there and ball, and they're worrying about him now because he's not practicing. Yeah, that's okay.
Jason
Taylor used to wear Jason Taylor wore tennis shoes to practice. he just run off the edge and slap people's hands off of him, and then he go out there and be the defensive player of the year on a Sunday.
Yep.
Odell's going to do it. Jarvis is going to do it. And Joku, Nick Chubb is going to ball until Kareem Hunt gets done. It's solidified the whole line. People don't even think about the defensive side of the ball with the Ward and Kyle Garrett. They are loaded. Their roster is loaded.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if Freddie Kitchens is ready for a Monday when they get beat 27-10, that offense isn't clicking,
uh-huh.
And now Jarvis is mad. Now Odell's mad. Now Baker with his little trash talking tail. I love him. I don't believe in bulletin board material either, fellas. Don't give anybody anything. You need me to talk about your mom for you to play hard?
Right.
Then you shouldn't be in the league. So all the bulletin board material, I don't believe in. But when they get mad, they start complaining. Odell Beckham gets 4 targets in a game.
Yep.
Jarvis
yep.
gets 3 targets in the game. I don't know if Freddie Kitchens is ready for that, but I don't know if he's ready for that personality maintenance that some of these great coaches, Mike Tomlin did it for years,
mm-hmm.
Bill Belichick known for doing. I don't know if Freddie Kitchens is ready for that. He's an OC. OCs don't have to deal with the personality. So I'm going to see if Freddie Kitchens can keep it together. But, fellas, their roster has Super Bowl potential. I don't know if their management and their coaching staff is ready to deal with a 20-22 week
spot
run
on
to really make it to the Super Bowl.
Spot on.
We are, of course, talking radio.com sports NFL insider Channing Crowder here on the show. As always, insider calls are brought to you by Indeed. Post a job today at indeed.com/hire. The reports are, Channing, that Dak Prescott, he scoffed at $30 million guaranteed. He wants $40 million. Would you feel comfortable paying him even $30 million?
Yes, where the market is. I think he's not a top 5 guy. Like I said, he's not the quarterback I like. I told you I like 6'4". I like sitting in the pocket, deliver that rock, you know, to get a little pressure, get hit in your stomach, and still make that throw with an in cut. I like that guy. He has a own pro. He has 5 guys on his line that's been to Pro Bowl. He has the best running back in the league. Saquon Barkley's up there now. I love Saquon. Zeke is a dog. They brought in Amari. You know, they did that trade. That was good. Is Dak eating off of the play action? That's what they do, but that's their scheme. I think Dak can be successful in this offense. I don't know if Dak is going to go be successful in a New England or a Eagles offense mm-hmm. or one of wide open New Orleans offense. I don't think Dak could do what Breeze does. I believe 100% Dak can't do what Rodgers and Brady and those guys do. Those are the numbers he wants. If they believe that this is their guy and the system is going to stay implemented for a long time throughout this 5-6 year contract they're going to give him, then yeah, keep him. Give him his money. You're going to mess up the money for Zeke. You're going to mess up the money for Amari. These linemen want to be up. They need to find pass rushers in Dallas. These linebackers, Van Der Esch and Jalen Smith, who I love, they're going to want some money in a second. You're going to break your salary cap if you give Dak 30 plus a year or anywhere close to 40. That's crazy.
Yeah.
But if you believe in him, they give him that money. I don't hate on no man getting paid. Get paid. I want to get the most money I can from radio and everything I do now. And when I was playing, I wanted to maximize my contract. But if I was Jerry Jones' nephew, and it would be hard because I'm a black dude, but if I was Jerry Jones' nephew, I would not pay Dak to the level of those top great quarterbacks, the ones I know are going to the Hall of Fame. I think he eats off of his offensive scheme, off of his run game, off of his play action, off of moving out the pocket. The man has 8 game-winning drives and 14 fourth-quarter comebacks. That could swing it. But where were those? If you go back and look at that, a lot of those were Zeke touchdowns in the red zone. So they're giving him credit for that fourth-quarter comeback, but Zeke could have them all 10, 12 times in the fourth quarter with a number of touchdowns to lead to those wins. So, honestly, I wouldn't pay Dak as a top-5 quarterback, but they have to make that decision. And if they want to get to the old trilogy, the three horsemen, whatever they're called, with Troy Aikman, Emmitt Smith, and Michael Irvin, and that's exactly what they're trying to do. If you think about it, they had a line, they had a great back, and when Emmitt set out, they went 0-2. So Emmitt came back, they went to win the Super Bowl again. So I think they're looking at that dynamic, and that's where they're so concerned with paying Zeke to make him in that Emmitt role, to keep that, to make him in that Troy role.
Yeah.
People are products, you know, they're habits, products of the habit. People are habit-based humans. That's what all people are. I think they're trying to get back there. So they might overpay those guys to believe that they can get back where they were in the mid-90s when we all love watching the Dallas Cowboys.
Hey, man, in your career, because I can just tell, like, you were a big talker on the field, like, no question about it. Who was the quarterback, though, who you knew every week was going to give it right back to your ass?
Phillip Rivers. Phillip Rivers, man. Bro, it was I played Brady a number of times. Brady would ignore you. Peyton would laugh at you. Brady would give you a smirk every now and again. You could get the terrible quarterback. You know, I played the LSU. Terrible. He couldn't throw the ball, you know, couldn't hit the ball side of a barn.
Jamarcus Russell?
I played DeMarcus Russell. Like, you could get to guys like that. You could talk.
That hurts my heart now. We had a lot of hope for him.
Yeah. You know, fella, I used to do a little research. So I would find somebody that played at college with them or a coach that coached at their college, and I would get their college girlfriend's names or maybe their mom's first name or something, and I would really dig deep to try to get a guy to double look at me after a play. But those greats, man, to come back to your question, the only great quarterback that I respect, that I believe goes to the Hall of Fame, that would talk trash with you from the, I'm talking about fellas, pregame, 1 o'clock game, you out there, 11:30 warming up, Phillip Rivers talking trash. He doesn't cuss. And that's the thing, Drew, I'm a cusser. He wouldn't cuss at you.
Yeah.
He would just be happy and just hope that he ain't crowded. Yeah. Oh, we're going to throw up 35 today, and you can't do nothing about it. Like, Phillip Rivers was the only quarterback that I knew got down and dirty trash talking, and I'm watching him to this day. He's the exact same guy. That is the Hall of Fame quarterback that used to, I would say, come down to my level to get into it with me whenever I play field.
I got one more for you because my best friend, one of them's he's a Dolphins fan and been diehard. Zach Thomas, you mentioned him earlier. You mentioned you still talk to him. Y'all played together. A linebacker we don't talk enough about, right? I mean, one of a seven-time Pro Bowler. How tough a guy was Zach Thomas? You played right beside him.
Man, Zach Thomas used to hit people so hard. He would make me flinch. I would be scraping over the top, and I remember he hit Willis McGahee in Buffalo. He hit Lynch when he was in Buffalo. He caught Curtis Martin one time with the Jets. He would hit a guy, and it would sound like a gunshot. You'd be scraping over the crowd. You pull, pull, pull. The guy goes, and you, I don't know where you hear. Bam! And you think somebody, you know, you think a bomb went off in the stadium. You come around the corner, Zach would be on the ground with his eyes rolling, the back of his head shaking. The running back would be on the ground with his eyes rolling, the back of his head
both
shaking.
Both
of them knocked to sleep. Zach jumped back up and said, CC, call the huddle, because he was too busy. And this story, you know, this new day and age of football, this story, people might not understand it, but y'all fellas get me. He would tell me, CC, call the huddle, because he couldn't see well enough to see the coach.
Knock himself
from the
out there. Yeah.
Knock himself out, knock his stuff to sleep. But Monday, the same way I'm talking about AB, where AB's a headache money through Saturday, Zach Thomas would watch so much film.
You could tell. Yeah.
Bro, he used to bring me over his house. We watch film. We get there at 6 a.m. We work out. 7:15 in the meeting room. Let the coach go through his stuff. Watch film for another hour. He was just him, and I felt like I need to do it because I feel like without Zach, I wouldn't have made it in the league as long as I did. He taught me how to be a pro. Watch film until the second practice is about to start.
Mm.
Go out. Come back in. Watch more film. Watch the practice. Then at night, he'd go back home. The same exact electronic, the same exact screen, the same controls that we had in the meeting room, he had in his theater room at his house. I would go over his house.
Wow.
I would get there maybe 7:30, 8 o'clock. At 10:15, 10:30, I'd be like, ZT, man, I got to go. Like, you know, my lady's at the house. I haven't eaten yet. Okay, whatever. I'll see you tomorrow. And he was sitting His wife would tell me, she had to wake him up at 1, 2 in the morning when he went to sleep watching film.
Wow.
We know a quick story about how smart this guy is. We played Detroit one time on New Year's Day. I mean, on our Thanksgiving in Detroit. Whole thing is Zach had a whole three. He had three ring binders full of notes from every game we played. And when he gets injured, he would take the same notes and give them to me as the mic. Like, he was giving me all his stuff
down. Yep.
But we went to Detroit. And he'd always tell me here's the stuff that I need to know through the week. We went to Detroit. He came out to the first series. And he said, CC, if 86 is on the ball, they have two tight ends, 86 and 89. He said, if 86 is on the ball, they'll shoot your gap. They'll shoot your gap. I said, okay. Next series, 86 on the ball. And, you know, they're doing all their motions. He ends up on the ball after the pre-snap motion. And I sneak up, but I don't shoot my gap. I end up making a tackle, but it should have been a tackle for loss if I listened to Zach. He cussed me out. I told you to shoot that damn cat. And he was in way more cuss words than that. So then I started shooting my gap. As soon as 86 on the ball, I started shooting my gap. I had 2 tackles for loss that game. I was in double digit tackles that game.
Yeah.
And on the way home, I said, Zach, I was like, what did you see, bro? Like, what did you see in that first series? I'm thinking he's going to say, oh, I see the tight end pan, or I saw something to him. He told me the offensive coordinator, this was 05, 06, uh-huh. right early in my career.
Mm-hmm.
He says, oh, no. The OC at Detroit was with the Chargers in the late 90s. I knew his 2 tight end run game.
Good Lord.
And I figured it, bro. And this is six, seven
Lord.
Years later.
Yes.
He said, I remember that he always picked a tight end to run through, and I figured out it was 86. And that trend that he remembered from 7 years ago, Big Dog,
yep.
was 100% correct through 4 quarters. He knew exactly where the ball was going. And easily we won, because if you know something like that, they can't run the ball. They had no rushing yards. Zach figured it out. And then the greatness of Zach now, think about the film study and the knowledge and
yep.
just what you can do mentally. He could translate it to other guys. He could explain to me why I need to shoot my gap, explain to the D linemen where they need to press their shoulder because 86 is on the right or 86 is on the line. When you can take your film study and make other people better, you need to be in the Hall of Fame. Look at Zach Thomas and Brian Urlacher's numbers next to each other.
Yes, sir.
All Urlacher has on him is interception.
Yep.
And Urlacher, he came out of college as a safety. And Urlacher was a moth. I love Urlacher.
He was.
No knock against Lack. But if Lack's in there, ZT needs to be in there.
They are
both great linebackers.
Yeah.
Man, CC, thank you for this.
This was awesome, man. We appreciate the time as always.
Appreciate y'all, man. Anytime, holler at me.
Yes, sir.
He is Radio.com Sports NFL Insider Channing Crowder. Insider calls always brought to you by Indeed. Post a job today at Indeed.com/hire.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.